Right, here we go. Parshas Vayera is the biggest lesson of Chesed. Avraham Avinu is the Chesed man, going around helping. We learn all of the halachos of Hachnasas Orchim, inviting guests from Avraham Avinu. Right, the Chavetz Chaim writes that even though we know that Avraham fulfilled all of the Torah, what that means is for a different time, but he fulfilled all the Torah, all the different mitzvos, but the Torah specifically over here talks so much about the Hachnasas Orchim, the inviting of the guests that Avraham did to the angels that came to visit. So the Chavetz Chaim says, it must be the Torah is coming to teach us multitude, tons of lessons about Hachnasas Orchim, about inviting guests. Now Chesed is exciting. Chesed is fun. People enjoy it. We feel good about ourselves. And one of the best ways of feeling good is giving to others. And you see the enjoyment that other people have. And very often, people like to get involved in Chesed for the wrong reasons. They get involved in Chesed because for their own personal gain. They enjoy it. Feels good to give to others. But obviously, the main reason that we want to do Chesed, we want to perform Chesed, is because we want to act like Hashem. V'alachta b'drachav, we want to go in the ways of Hashem. And Hashem is constantly just giving good. So just like Hashem is bestowing good upon us, upon everyone, we want to emulate His ways and also go ahead and give good. But the question is, what does it mean, Chesed? Does it mean walking an old lady across the street? Does it mean inviting someone over for Shabbos? What does it mean, Chesed? So the pasuk, the very strange pasuk, seems strange. It says when it's talking about incest with one sister. Okay, it's talking about the horrible punishment for someone to have incest with his sisters. In Parshas Achrimos, the Torah says, Ki Chesed Hu, literally translated, it's an act of kindness, v'nichrasu, and therefore you get the punishment of kares. You're cut off. Incest with your sister is an act of kindness? What is going on over here? How can the Torah say it's a chesed? So Rabbeinu Bachai explains in that pasuk over there that chesed does not mean kindness. Delete that definition from your mind. Chesed means extreme. Want to be extreme? You should do chesed. Chesed, the literal translation of the word chesed, is to be extreme. For example, the Rambam writes the same thing, that the Rambam explains that what does it mean when we have people, what are the people that go beyond the letter of the law? They're called chassidim. Exactly. Chassidim, unfortunately, has taken a new connotation. Right? You have to dress a certain way, and you have to wear certain clothing, your hair has to be a certain way. That's not what chassidim are. The translation of the word chassidim are people who go beyond the letter of the law. Really, they're only supposed to keep Shabbos this way. They go beyond the letter of the law. They're called chassidim. So chesed means to go beyond. Explains Rabbeinu Bachaye, since incest with one sister is beyond a disgrace. It's disgusting. It's just beyond. It's not just like not good. It's horrible. So the Torah uses the word chesed. But that comes and we could take on, when we want to perform acts of good chesed, right? We have to realize that it means beyond. It means beyond. I had a Rebbe whose father was a Rav in Boston. And once he had a person that came to his house. Erev Shabbos, he had just gone out of jail. He was in jail for many years. He got out on Friday afternoon. He had nowhere to go for Shabbos. So he came to this rabbi's house, and he said, can I stay here for Shabbos? He said, no problem. And he ended up staying there, I think, for like 20 years. Okay, moved in, basically moved in. Right? That's not a normal act of kindness. That's beyond. And there's a story about Rav Shach. Now, Rav Shach was the great Rosh Yeshiva, the Panovich Yeshiva. And everyone was flocking to him for advice. He very busy person. So when his wife got a little older and she was ill, he hired a lady to take care of his wife and the things in the home. And the young lady used to bring her baby with her. So one time he got home and he heard hysterical crying from the house. He went upstairs. He said to the lady, he said, well, what happened? He said, oh, my baby's pacifier fell down from the porch. From up there, fell down, and the baby's crying. So he ran down to go find the pacifier. He didn't see it. So he ran to the pharmacy next to the yeshiva. He said, I need to buy a pacifier. They didn't have any. He said, go to the store on Rabbi Akiva Street, which is even further away. He went over there, bought 5 pacifiers, came back home, came and brought 5 pacifiers. Now, did he have to do that? You know, he first of all, if he would have gotten none, it would have been okay. Shach is going to run now to go buy the pacifier for the lady's kid who's helped. Like, she could have run out and he could have stayed at home, right? But that's what chesed is. Chesed is, yeah, I don't have to do this. I'm going beyond. I'm going to go ahead and take care of it. Okay? But, and we can speak about this really for hours, about this idea of chesed, but we have to realize, again, Hashem goes beyond. Hashem doesn't have to give me the ability to speak right now. 5 minutes is totally fine. And for 5 minutes I can't speak, it'll be fine, right? The world will continue if I can't speak right now. But Hashem is giving me the ability to speak right now. He's going beyond everything that He does. He doesn't owe me anything, right? Even if I did a nice thing yesterday, 2 days ago, or even this morning, right? The amount of good that He gives upon me is way beyond any obligation. There is no obligation, right? Chesed goes beyond what you're obligated to do. Not I have to help him, I have to do this. That's a mitzvah also to do what you have to do. But going beyond in a special way is very, very different. And the Sfarno says a very interesting thing. The Pasuk says, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Love thy neighbor like you love yourself, right? So some people could translate to mean that, you know, I would want this for me, so I'm going to do this for him. I wouldn't care about this. I'm not going to give it to him. Whatever I want for myself, I'm going to give to the other person. The Sfarno says that is totally backwards. If you view it that way, what are you basically saying? You're taking your own desires, what you want, what you feel is right, what you feel you need, and you're saying, I'm going to give it to him. But maybe he doesn't need it. Maybe he doesn't like chocolate ice cream. Only you do. Chocolate ice cream is the best. I have to give it to him. Here! And you stuff it in your stomach. You have to eat it. He doesn't like chocolate. You know what I'm saying? Like you would have been very nice to get him ice cream. But v'avreicha kamocha doesn't mean what you like for yourself you should give to other people. As Sfarno says, it means get into the other guy's kishkas. Think about what he's thinking. What would he want in this situation? I would want whatever's best for me. Well, what does he think is best for him? Chesed isn't on the giver's terms. It's not on how I feel, I want to go ahead and help him. This is the way it has to be. I'm going to change him now. I'm going to fix him. No, get into the person. What do you think he needs? Does he want me to say hello to him now? Or doesn't he want me to? Maybe he looks like he's in a bad mood. Maybe he just needs space. Right? I see that he's in a bad mood. I'm going to come in and start tickling him. That's exactly what he needed, you know? Because that's what I would want if I was in a bad mood. No, maybe the person needs space. So this is a very tricky thing. We have to go ahead and we have to try to get into the person's headspace and think, what does he want? What would he want in this situation? And then you do it just like you would want someone to get into your headspace and think about what you would want. Right? The way we speak to each other. How would he want me to speak to him? I'm not going to just say what I want. What would he want to hear? How would he want to hear it? And this comes up especially in Hachnasas Orchim, and we learn it from this week's Parsha. When it comes to Avram having guests over. Okay, people invite guests. This is a very touchy subject, but people have lunch, right? Let's say they have their Shabbos lunch. And they know they start their meal at X time, right? And they end their meal at Y time. And it's very blocked. They know 2 hours, 7 minutes for the Kiddush, 14 minutes for the fish, 12 and a half minutes for the Dvar Torah. And everything's planned out. You have certain people like, this is the way it goes. And then sleep. Right, you know exactly what your schedule is going to be like. Okay? So the Torah tells us that Avram is the king of Achnas Zorchim, inviting the guests. He comes in and invites these angels to come into the house. And the Torah says, what did he give him? You would think, he's the king, right? King, the king of Achnas Zorchim. He probably gave him steaks, fine wine, right? The best, right? That's not, the Torah does not say that. What does the Torah say? The Torah says that he offered them to wash themselves, but not a full shower. What did he offer them? Their feet. Okay? You could rest under the tree, he said. And here's a little bit of bread to eat. So hold on. This is who we're going to learn how to invite guests from. Okay? If you want to come in, by the way, you walked in from the old city, you know, you're all schwitzed, I see you, you must be, here, why don't you wash your foot off? Your back and everything, please, don't waste my water. Here's a little bit of water, and a little bit of piece of bread, and don't come in. If you want to rest, go outside, there's a nice tree, and go rest. Give me a break, what's going on over here? It sounds the opposite of what we're supposed to do, right? So the Ramban says an amazing idea. He says that he saw these people on their journey. They were walking around. They weren't looking for a home to come into. They were on their way, and he wanted them to come in, right? So in order to bring them in, he didn't want to disturb them and say, okay, here's a four-course meal. They don't want a four-course meal, maybe, right? Go ahead and take a shower now, this and that. He wanted to just let them continue on their journey. That's what they want to do, continue on their journey. Just give them a little bit of water. You know, it's like those people running the marathon, and you have the people on the side, like, here, take one, you know? So that's all they want. Not, please stop your marathon here for a minute, you know, sit down, let me give you some water. No one would do that. The guy's on his journey. He wants to go, right? You want to help him. You want to get into his head. What do they need? Now, the truth is, the Pasuk says that after they came in, right, he gave them. He gave them a lot more. Right? He gave them, the Torah says, he gave them a lot more. But originally in the invite, he said, look, I'm not going to burden you. I'm not going to burden you by coming into my house. Here, I'm going to give you a little bit. You take what you want. Okay, I'm going to offer you more once you come in. But I'm not going to burden you. Come in. Okay, we have to think, what does the other person want? You want to invite a person over? You want to help someone? What does the person want? The story of the Chafetz Chaim is even brought down in Halacha, believe it or not. We don't have time for it right now to explain. But the story of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim had Reb Leib Chassman, was a big Rav in Europe, had him over at the house, and everyone came home from Shul Friday night. Right, everyone knows. What do you do when you come home Friday night at the Shabbos table? What's the first thing you do? Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Right, you start singing Shalom Aleichem. Right away, he got there to the meal. He stood up. I don't know if he stood up. He went ahead and made Kiddush. They had a motzi. They started eating. And then he sang Shalom Aleichem. I don't know if to that tune. So Blaib Chassman turned around and said, what? Rebbe, what? Every Jewish person, even the secular, know that you sing Shalom Aleichem when you come home. Like, what? You're not supposed to do it in the middle of a meal. Right? What happened to you? What happened to Shalom? What happened to the song? So he said as follows. He said, I know that everyone here had a long day, and they're probably starving. He said, the angels, they could wait a few minutes for me to sing the song. But I have to give them, my guests, Hachnas Orchan, have to come in to give them food. They're hungry. And that's more important. An amazing thing. And believe it or not, it's even brought down in Halacha, in the Mishnah Berurah, and a few places tucked away in, that the Chafetz Chaim, who wrote the Mishnah Berurah, he writes that in certain cases, it's prohibited to delay the start of your meal if people that are coming over are very, very hungry. And you see that in action, that's what he did. He waited on singing Shalom Aleichem, which everyone would think like, oh my goodness, this guy's not religious. Like, he didn't sing Shalom Aleichem, you know? Yeah, he pushed that off, because that's not Halacha, that you have to sing Shalom Aleichem. No one even knows how it started. We know what it's based on. It's based on a Gemara and Shabbos. We will speak about that at a different time. But the actual song itself, we don't even know who wrote it. Okay? and so he pushed that off to say Kiddush, have mochi, let his guests eat, and let them start, because that was the needs of his guests. Again, what is that saying? I'm looking, what are the needs? What do my guests need? That's what I'm going to give them. Not on my terms. We start at this time. We have to finish at this time. This, that. What are your needs? What are the people that are coming over? Because I want to help that person. I want to go beyond what I think it should be. I want to go beyond and get into their headspace and try to help them and give to them in their world. And the most amazing, I think, the most one of my most favorite Divrei Torah, one of the most amazing things that we see in this week's parasha is how Avram actually had his guests over. The pasuk says that, I'll give you the exact lashon. The pasuk says that Avram, here we have a chumash, in Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Ches. The pasuk says 18:8. You remember this one? It says, he gave them the food. He stood on them, he stood on them under the tree, and they ate. So the Rishonim ask, who cares like where they ate exactly? They were under the tree, like it's almost like like a novel. And there was a tree. And the sun was setting. You know, who cares exactly what, you know, the ambiance of the story over here? Why is it hard to tell us that it was Tachas Eitz? So some Gemaras say that it was Sukkis, and the Eitz means that it was a Sukkah, and they were in the Sukkah. Some people say that, another Gemara says that's not true, it was Pesach, whatever it is. The Rishtoso says an amazing thing. What does it mean they were standing under the tree? It doesn't mean that they were standing under the tree. There's another definition for the word Tachat. Anyone know what that is? Next. What? Next Almost. Okay, tachat doesn't just mean under. It also means, everyone's going to notice in a second, instead of. For example, the Torah says, ayin, tachat ayin, an eye for an eye. Right? You all know that? That you could that you trade an eye for an eye. It's instead of, you poked that person's eye, your eye should be poked out. It's instead of. The Torah means over here that Avraham stood tachas ha'etz instead of a tree. What does that mean? The sun was beating down on these malachim. Exactly. He went ahead and he stood there like a tree to block the sun from harming them or from making them uncomfortable. Can you imagine that? You have guests over in your living room and the sun is coming through. You know, you wait 5 minutes, the sun moves over, or you pull the shade, and you just get up at your dining room table and just, you know, stand there like that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine such a thing? That's what Avram did. The Rishonim Tosa says that that's what Avram did. He stood there instead of a tree to block the sun. He was hungry. Who cares? What is best for my guest? It rhymes. Best for my guest, right? Well, what's best for him? What? How can I help him? So I have to embarrass myself a little bit in order so that he could eat in comfort? No problem. Now, no one in their right mind will tell you that is what you had to do. Right? Avram didn't have to do that. Everyone would have totally understood if the sun would have just been on it. Everyone was on Avram also. Right? But Avram was a chesed man. What does a chesed man mean? Beyond. I don't do just what is the basic necessity. I go ahead and I go beyond. I go what's more than what I feel is needed. I try to give the most as possible. Now, this is a very, very important lesson. One, we're involved with chesed all day long. Okay, we can't confuse what chesed is. Chesed doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a chesed activity to do chesed or go out somewhere to do chesed. That's also chesed. And sometimes you can do more chesed that way. But on an everyday basis, it's how we act in the dorms around other people. Are we waking people up? Are we causing a certain environment that other people might not like? Right? Even though we're allowed to do what we're doing. We're allowed to do it. There's nothing wrong. It's not part of the rules. I'm not breaking any rules. But how am I affecting other people? Get into the other person's mind. What do they think? What do they want? How can I make things better for them? And I had a friend in yeshiva that in the room that I was when I was after high school here in yeshiva. So he had shoes that had like a heel on it. So every time he walked, you were able to hear like click clack click clack. And there was another roommate of mine that was a super not me another super sensitive sleeper. You know, nothing. He couldn't sleep at all. Any little noise would wake him up. And he realized that every single night when he'd come in, he'd wake up his roommate. So right away he went with brand new shoes. I remember this perfectly. He went right away and he bought new shoes with a rubber sole. So he wouldn't wake him up. Now, did he have to do that? No, if the guy has a problem, let him speak to the head of the yeshiva to get a new room. Like, there's no rule, no click shoes. no tap shoes. There's no such rule like that. The guy, no one would have held anything against him. The guy in the room wasn't upset at him. Right? But he wanted to set a certain environment. He wanted to give to another person. He wanted to get into his head, what could I do to help him more? So I'll get new shoes. That's doable. Right? It's a certain leaving our self, getting into the other person, thinking what could be done, and then going ahead and trying to give it in a very, very strong way. And this is all over the place. This is in the dining room. This is in the yeshiva. This is in the dorms. This is on your free Shabbos. This is always. We're always involved with chesed, right? Everyone's going to go out Shabbos. You might go out to other people, right, for Shabbos to Shabbos. You might buy them a present. So you have to think, what present am I going to give them? So some people think, okay, flowers. That's nice, right? So what happens? You show up at your host's house 3 minutes before Shabbos. You walk in there, you see that the place is flying. The kids aren't bathed yet. You know, the siren's about to start going. You know, you see it's very, very hectic. And you hear, here are flowers. And the wife's like, exactly what I needed. I have to start cutting the branches now, getting the vasim down there. Like, another thing that I didn't think of that I have to go ahead and do. Right? Alternatively, what you could do, the same chesed, exact same amount of money. You could call up Friday morning and call your host and say, I am coming tonight. I can't wait. By the way, I'd like to bring cake. I want to know what flavor you like. Okay, so first of all, you're not giving them an option. Do you want cake or not? You're telling them you're bringing cake. right? And that could save them time. You tell them early enough in the morning, tell them on Thursday, that means the wife won't have to bake cake. You know what chesed you're doing? It's the same 20 shekel, by the way. Exact same 20 shekel, 25 shekel that you're going to buy in the flowers, you just bought a cake. You called early, you let the host know that you'd like to bring this. The hostess doesn't have to bake the cake tonight or tomorrow, gives her an extra hour, half an hour of time, and you're picking the flavor that they like. So
just let them know that you're getting flowers.
You could do that also. You could say, I'm bringing flowers, but they have to come early enough and make sure that they can have the time, etc. Right? But the idea is that you're going and you're saying, what could they want? Maybe they want something for the kids, maybe they want candy, maybe they like wine. So you could say, I'm coming, I'm bringing either wine or cake, which one would you prefer? Right? And then they could pick. Again, the same amount of money. You didn't do any extra effort. It's the same store that sells the wine and the cake. Right? But you're able to get into the person's head. But haftal reyacha kamocha, you would want someone to get into your head if they were coming to your house to buy, right? So you're getting into their head. What would they want? How can I give to them? And then you give to them. You don't have to do that. Right? No one would think that you're a bad person if you came over with the flowers. Right? But you're going beyond. You're going beyond what you have to do. Just like Hashem is always going beyond with us, we'll go beyond also with other people. We just have to take a step back for a second and think, I'm going to do chesed now. What is the optimal way to do this? How can I hit a grand slam with my 20 shekel? Right, get the most for your money. And if we realize this, when we take these lessons from Avram Avinu, we take a little bit of time to think about it ourselves, we'll see that our whole lives will transform. We'll be able to give to other people in a whole different way. Our relationships will be able to grow in a different way. We can get more achdus, more unity. People like us better. We'll like other people better. We'll be able to help people. People appreciate it. The whole world will be different. Right? We just take a few seconds to go ahead and make that little effort, and we'll be able to be a tremendous Bali Chesed. Okay.